If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. I'm Deuce Mason alongside Morgan Reagan. Hey, doing Mo?
I am fantastic this offseason. Thanks for asking.
You know it's peak offseason when the preseason schedule comes out and we start going, oh, it's almost here.
Wait, that's not what we're breaking down today?
No, it's not.
Oh.
But we should know with the start of the preseason means the return of Night Chats. We'll be live doing podcasts after every single Kings game this year, preseason, regular season, and playoffs.
Hopefully. The sound of that. No, not even hopefully. Don't even knock on wood. It's there. It's good. We're good.
Before we get to today's conversation, the biggest thing you could do to help our channel grow is make sure to give us a 5-star review. If you're on Spotify, give us 5 stars. If you're on the Apple Podcast Store, you could do the same thing. All it does is allow more Kings and NBA fans around the world to consume and check out our podcast. Today's conversation is a fun one. It's with one of our favorites, Kingsguard Davion Mitchell. We talked about the Kings Warrior series.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about his offseason, including some tweaks he made with his shot working out with Steph Curry's shooting coach.
Yes. And he broke it all down for us too. Oh, but not only that, he also shared his zodiac sign.
Yes, Morgan was really excited about that. So enjoy this conversation with the one and only Davion Mitchell. We caught up with him at around this time last year.
Yeah.
Kings point guard Davion Mitchell. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Just ready for the season to start, but I'm good.
You know, it's funny. Last year when we talked to you, the thing you mentioned is like, hey, I want to be a part of the team that ends the playoff drought. And
right. You
guys were able to do that. What was that experience like last year?
Yeah, man, I think, from the jump, like start of training camp, I thought like it was already, we was going to make the playoffs. Just from the jump, like the energy that came in, Mike Brown did a really good job of organizing everything. He pushed us. We all pushed each other. We all took it seriously because we all know we had one goal. We all know it's like an elephant in the room where we need to make the playoffs. And basically, I feel like the whole city was kind of like under pressure. Like the Kings got to make the playoffs this year. We made all these trades. They got a new coaching staff. So it was just a good feeling just to come in and have a really good season, make really good connections, really build a really good bond with my teammates and try to run it back next year. Try to do bigger and better things next year.
Yeah, that was, the amount of times that I think we throw around the word culture in the NBA and just in sports in general. Like, you got to have a good culture. It just seemed like from afar, you guys had this great culture being built. You guys all liked each other on and off the court. What made that group so special?
I mean, I think just the people that I think Mossy put around each other. I think we all had a really good connection. Everyone loved the game of basketball. Everyone loves to win. I feel like there was no selfish players on the team. I mean, even though that Fox is a bonus, they're so good, they can be selfish, but they sacrifice their game. They sacrifice passing the ball, getting assists, and doing the little things just for us to win. And I think that really helped us, and it showed us that, man, that if they can do the little things, we got to do the little things too, because they're the star players. So I think that helped us a lot, just the sacrifice. And like you said, just a really good culture.
Yeah, you're talking about, like, with Fox and Sabonis too. Mike Brown had mentioned, like, the fact that those two guys let him coach them hard allowed him to coach everybody on the team. Like how important it was that last year that Mike Brown was able to be just as hard on De'Aaron and Sabonis as, you know, everyone on the team.
I think it just showed that that he just held everyone accountable. I think that I think he was harder on them to make us better, because, I mean, without them, I think that – I'm sorry. It's a motorcycle that's really loud.
It's all good.
You're fine, but, Davion.
Yeah, but I just think that – yes, thank you. I just think that him holding them accountable just showed that, man, how locked in he was. I mean, even though the little things they could have done, like turn the ball over – I mean, they're the star players. They can do that. But, no, he held them more accountable than anybody else. And it just showed that, man, like, we can really trust in Mike Brown. He's not going to show favoritism. He's not going to do anything like that. He just wants to win, just like everyone else. So, if you got the coaches doing the same mindset as the players, then I think it's easy to play for someone else.
It's wild to think about how quickly your guys' offense – just started clicking, right? It started becoming special just so quickly between you guys. Was it because you all just bought in? Was it the discipline? Was it the structure? What was it that made everything click?
I just think that I think coming from a new system, I think in the beginning of the training camp, it was hard. Like, no one really knew the offense. No one really knew it was going to work. I remember, like, me and Sabonis even having conversations like, man, like, this might not work. Like, This ain't a really good flow of offense. And then as we start practicing more, as we start getting better, it was like one of the best offenses in the NBA. And he started killing. He started flourishing in the offense, and everyone kind of came connected, because kind of everyone was touching the ball. Everyone was getting each other open, and we played really fast. So we had a lot of possession. So I think it just made it a lot easier. Like I said, though, like when you got players at Fox and Sabonis are really good people who can sacrifice to giving the ball up, not taking every shot, even though they can create that shot every single time. Like, it's kind of easy to play with people like that. It's easy to have a good offense, because everyone wants to share. Everyone wants to win. So I feel like it came easy to us.
You mentioned at first maybe some apprehension about the offense. What was, like, the biggest adjustment for you when learning this new offense?
I think for me it was a struggle just because of coming from a new system. Like, because, you know, my first year it was a little bit different than my second year. And I think – as a guard off the bench, it's kind of hard to kind of find that system, like the people that starts, because you don't really get as many reps in a game. You get a lot of reps in practice, but, you know, it's different in a game. It's faster. It's in intensity. Like, you got the crowd, you got everything. It's the pressure. So it's like, it's hard when you don't get as many reps as a starter to kind of get that system, like, locked in. But over time, this year, I think I know the system really well, just being around my teammates, being around the coaches. During the summertime, just watching film, I think I got a better understanding what they want out the system, what type of shots they want, what type of players who can get open. And like you said, I kind of know our players now. Like, we don't have so many new players where I got to learn what their strengths and weaknesses are. So now everyone knows their strengths and weaknesses, so we can get each other, like, the right shots is going to be successful for the team. So I think that was just the hardest adjustment, just not having so many reps, but I think I learned it now.
I think that's one of the coolest things that we get to see you guys do is kind of run it back with a lot of the same guys and that continuity and how much that really is going to benefit all of you. And I'm sure, you know, you felt a little bit of that in college. How important is that going to be, you know, not only with the offense that we keep talking about, but with the defense as well?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that the best teams is based off the chemistry. You see, like, the team that win championships in the past couple of years, you got the Warriors, who has a really strong chemistry. You got the Denver, has a really strong chemistry. Like, they've been playing with each other over time. Like, they know each other's what they're best at. And it's hard. And I would say, like, the harder teams is kind of making all these trades and getting all these star players. They're not going to win championships, but I think it'll make it harder just because – they don't really know each other that well. I mean, they can play pickup with each other, but they didn't really go through the fire with each other. Like, they didn't lose with each other. So I just think that it's harder when you got new people, new faces all the time. And we got a couple new faces, but I think he'll adjust really well. Like Sasha, he's a Euro MVP. I think he'll adjust really well. He's a pro before. He shoots the ball really well. Somebody got us really going to help our system really well. And you got the rookies that are coming in that's learning. I think that's gonna make us jump. And then you got a rim protector, Nerlens Noel, who can play defensively, and that's gonna make us stronger defensively on that end, blocking shots and changing things at the rim. So I think that was kind of one of our weaknesses too, just the things at the rim. But I think that I think Monty and the Kings organization did a really good job of just putting us together and just keeping us together. And I think that we got a lot of potential.
You know, we've been talking about the defense too, and there were just moments last year where you're like, oh, okay, it's coming together. In fact, like, you guys were a better defensive team on the road compared to at home. And then even in the playoffs, I felt like, okay, like, it seems like it's coming together. What's it going to take for you guys to take that jump as a team defensively? Like, do you think you guys can get into, like, the top 15 as a defensive team in the league?
I think we based it off our offense. I think we kind of relied on our offense a little bit, knowing that we got the best offense in the NBA. We're the fastest, and we can score the ball really well. We kind of didn't really take that side really seriously. And I think that this year, I mean, knowing that we lost in the first round of Game 7 because Steph Curry did a really good job scoring the basketball, that if we were just a little bit locked in defensively, we wouldn't even got to that position. We could have maybe even closed one Game 3 or Game 4. You know what I'm saying? It would have been just an easier series if we would have kind of just been really good defensively. So I think we got a better understanding now that, yes, we can score the ball, but we got to be able to stop people to actually win for real. I mean, the regular season is a little bit – you can kind of win in a regular season with just offense. You'll get by. You'll make the playoffs just because if you have a really good offense, usually that's what happens. You'll win a lot of games because a lot of people don't really play that much defense in the regular season. But when it comes down to the playoffs, I mean, experiencing it just shows that who can really guard is really going to be the team that wins, honestly, in the chemistry, like I said. So – I think we got to better understand it now.
And sticking to the defense a little bit, because I remember when we had you on last year, Davion, we were talking about you defensively, and you totally went off about how I just need to become better off ball. Sometimes I'm ball watching. How would you say that you've done since then? And do you feel like you're even a better defender now than you were even this last season?
I mean, I think I'm a more smarter defender. I think that Mike Brown has really challenged me to just be better off the ball because, I mean, I'm going to be guarding usually the best players, and sometimes they're not on the ball. Sometimes they're the shooting guard. Sometimes I'm the small forward where I got to be able to lock in off the ball. And I think he challenged me every time he's in the facility and he sees us actually playing. He always tells me, don't guard Fox, guard someone off the ball. You know what I'm saying? Because it challenges me because, you know, on the ball, it's fun to me. It comes easy. And off the ball, you kind of get lost. You kind of sleep on plays. It's like, all right, you got to lock in. So he challenged me, man. I think this was making me a smarter defender. And also just watching other people, like watching guys like off the ball, like Drew Holiday and those guys like that. I mean, you know, I still watch film. So, you know, it's become easier and easier.
Yeah. What do you think the key is to becoming like a really good off ball defender?
I think a lot of it has to do with something that I really can't control is my length and my height a little bit. I think that's what a lot. I mean, that's not the main reason. It was also just be engaged, be able to talk, know what positions you got to be in the right spots at all positions. Like, also be able to talk to your teammates to put them in the right positions. You're not really out there by yourself as a whole group, so you kind of got to be that that quarterback, especially if you're a defender, you got to be that quarterback off there, out there, just to tell him, yo, like, be the tag man, or like, I got to stick with the shooter, so you be the tag man. You don't really have a good shooter, so you be the tag man. Like, let's switch, because this ball screen, he's rolling to a big, and he's too big, so let's switch. I go to the guard, and you're bigger than me. So it's just a little thing like that that you got to kind of lock into. And I think that, I mean, if you fall asleep a lot, a guy that falls asleep is really about a bad off-ball defender. And I used to do that my rookie year, so they used to try to pick on me, too, off the ball. But I kind of got better at it.
Davion, I want to talk about the playoffs, because I don't think any of us will ever forget that first playoff game, game one, and the fans are on their feet going wild 25 minutes before tip-off. What was it like running through that tunnel?
Man, I think when I first went out there, it kind of gave me chills, because it was just so many people. Everyone was so crazy. That was probably like the most nervous I ever been. I wasn't even playing yet. It was just like the game was about to happen. Everyone expecting us to win. It's so many people. We kind of have to win. We can't let them down. So that was kind of our mindset, man. And it was just a fun game, a fun experience. That, I mean, I think every game was like that in the playoffs. It wasn't even just game one. It was like all the way game six, game seven. Like, even in the, I feel like the Warriors' place was not as loud as us, but like every time we play home, it was electric for sure. And we got to keep doing it. We got to keep running it back every year.
What was the biggest difference between the regular season and playoffs for you?
So, I think defensively, I would say that refs kind of tend to let things go by a little bit, and it makes it better for me, because I'm a physical defender. So like the ticky tack fouls, they're not really calling that, because it's like a more like, they're just not calling it. And I think that's what makes it fun, because it's actually, I feel like it's more real basketball a little bit.
Yeah.
Because like, there's so many people in the league who are really good at just drawing fouls. Like, if they call the same way in the regular season, the playoffs, I think the playoffs wouldn't even be fun. It's fun to watch, because it would be so many free throws. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's why I think it's like a completely different ball game. It's like not even close. Like, it's like to a point where it's like, man, like, it's like one side is like college basketball, one side is like NBA. That's the comparison I'm looking at. Like, because they call so many ticky-tack fouls in the regular season, and when you get to the playoffs, it's like when someone's trying to throw their head and shoot the ball, they look crazy because they're not calling it. Yeah. So it's like, I think defensively that's the difference. But offensively, I think that it's harder to score. I mean, you got to beat them four times. It's harder to score. I think the game one and game two, you're all right, like, you kind of get comfortable. You kind of figure out what their game plan is, and then after that, it's kind of like it's a battle. Like, whoever makes the most shots, whoever, I mean, has the best creators, and whoever gets more stops. And it's like, it ain't really like, I think also, and it also, I think offensively, there's a lot of like what Steve Kerr did to us. I think he changed the game plan a lot. He realized that we're really good in the game one and game two, with kind of like Sabonis and HB, and then he ended up playing, because Sabonis wasn't shooting three really well. So, and then he ended up changing the game plan. It kind of went smaller. It kind of made us run more, and it kind of got tired out Sabonis, I think, a little bit. And that's why Mike Brown made changes, and he made Trey as the five, and it made it hard for them to guard, because now they can't really play in the drop. They got to switch to Trey hit shots. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of the game planning, like throughout the whole series, is the best part of it. And I think that's the big difference. You know, in the regular season, they don't really do any mini game plans. You keep scoring, you're gonna keep scoring. You know what I'm saying? It ain't really that important, I think, for coaches. I think.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about game one and the emotions. You know, the game that I love the most, I think, in that series, game six.
Oh.
Game six, dude. On the road, going into that building. I walked out of that building. Oh,
I felt
Kings
like
winning game
yeah.
seven. I felt like
I felt
that
like a
was
player.
It's so hard to win on the road, especially in the playoffs. And you guys were in a must win that game. Was there a game that jumps out to you, or what do you think about that game six?
I think game six, where I kind of figured we was gonna win just because how comfortable they were gonna be. You know what I'm saying? Like, they was at their own place. They was kind of expected to win. Like, I think they went in the mindset of like, all right, we're about to win, we're going to the next series. Like, and I think we came out and kind of just hit them in the mouth, and they couldn't really get back, you know what I'm saying? And then I think that's when game six is when we start making that, really that when Mike Brown made that game plan where he started putting Trey at the five, and Trey started playing really well at the five, and I think that really helped us. And also, I mean, that's why game seven, it was a little bit different, because he kind of Steve Kerr kind of playing for that, you know what I'm saying? So, but I kind of figured we was going to win that game. I think that that game was, like, probably the easiest game of the series, in my opinion.
Wow.
Like, people say it was a must-win, but I was like, all right, like, it's a must-win for us. But in their heads, they're thinking, like, all right, we're going to win this game easily. You know what I'm saying? So, I think it was meant to have a game seven. Like, it was just a fun experience, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Is like getting that experience and being able to build off that, but also experiencing the emotions, the heartbreak. How long did it take you to get over that series, and or are you even over it?
Yeah, I mean, I think after the game, I think that night, you just kind of get over it a little bit. I mean, because you can't really do anything about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you play the game. Steph Curry had an amazing performance, historical performance that everyone's going to remember. Like, you can't really get mad at that. I mean, because we're going against the defending champs. They got a lot of experience. It's our first time there. And, I mean, of course, we wanted to win. I mean, we thought we could win. And then I just feel like after the game, we was kind of like, all right, like, on to next year. Like, we know that we experienced this. We know we can't miss it. We know what we got to do to be better. And we're going to be a lot better next year because we experienced this. And I'm saying, like, and you got to think about it. They're getting – we're a young team. So, like, we weren't really that stressed about it. I think that's an older team. So they're kind of like, all right. They're kind of looking at us like, all right, but we got to actually get better to play the Sacramento Kings again because, I mean, they took us to game seven. I'm saying they ain't really – they didn't beat us in five. They took us a game seven. And Steph had to have 50 to win. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I feel like we wasn't really that mad about it, to be honest. I wasn't, at least.
Yeah. I'm curious, when you do some reflection on it, like when that series, you know, ends, you're probably thinking about not only the series, how it ended, the regular season. What's going through your mind? Are you like, do you have a thought of, all right, I have to do this better next year if I'm going to take this next step? Like, what jumps to your mind?
I mean, I think the same thing every year, just being a better shooter. I think that if I was a better shooter, I would have been on the floor more. You know what I'm saying? Like, just game six and game seven. So I think that's kind of been the emphasis. I mean, I think that even the day after the game, I was kind of like, all right, like, I got to focus on this. Like, throughout the whole summer, like, talk to the best shooter coaches. Like, now I work out with Brandon Payne, the same guy that works out Steph. So it's like, now I'm getting pointers from Steph, talking to Steph about, like, yo, how do you, like, what makes you a great shooter? Like, how do you breathe? Like, what are you looking at? Like, different questions like that, just picking his brain that I actually picked his brain the other day. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the one thing about it as a shooter, you gotta be relaxed. And I was never relaxed when I shoot until I started to work out with Brandon Payne. He started telling me to relax when I shoot. And I didn't really know how to do that. And he was kind of explaining, like, you just got to breathe. Like, and then, you know, when I was shooting, I was realized, like, dang, I really don't breathe. I kind of, like, hold my breath, and I'm not really relaxed. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of, like, tensed up the whole time. Because I'm already, like, a twitchy guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm strong, twitchy, so I'm already, like, tight. So as you breathe when you shoot, it makes it easier. It makes it more softer. And I asked Steph the other day, like, how do you breathe? Because it's harder for me to breathe through my nose when I shoot. I breathe through my mouth. But he breathed through his nose. And I was also asking, like, why did he look at the ball when he shoot? Like, it's just a little different thing like that that makes me want to become a better shooter. And I knew if I was a better shooter, I would have been on the floor. So after that game, I was like, I got to become a better shooter so I can be in those situations where I'm in the game most of the time because I think I'm the best defender. So I got to be able to guard people like Steph. So if he does get 50, it's a harder 50. Or, I mean, you can't really stop Stephen Curry. It ain't possible. But you can make it a little bit harder on him. I mean, I think that, yeah. I think that's what kind of my mindset was.
It's so fascinating hearing you talk about the techniques and like just the smallest things, like learning how to breathe when you're actually shooting. So besides the breathing, what else has been the biggest tweak within your shooting fundamentals or your technique?
Also, I think that last year when I was shooting, I never squeezed my core. So I was always kind of like bent over when I shot. And then when I was shooting, when I would go up to shoot, I kind of try to get back straight. But I'm so bent over, I'm trying to get back straight. So I'm leaning the whole time. Like, I'm like shooting, like, it's kind of hard to explain. You have to actually see it. But it's like when I'm leaning over and I'm trying to shoot back, like, my back is kind of like, I'm like tight basically. But now as I shoot, I'm like squeezing my core. So now I'm like already straight up and down the whole time. So now when I shoot, and I also think that's why the arc went so high, because when I'm bending over, I'm trying to get back up.
Yeah.
And I'm squeezing like this. So I'm shooting the ball like this. So like when I squeeze my core now, I'm kind of like shooting it a straight ball. Like I do a lot of, this summer, I ain't gonna lie, I've been doing a lot of like technical stuff. Like every time I shoot now, I like have the NOAA on, so it tells me what the arc is every single time. And now I don't even count makes now that's above 49. Like now my shot is more 48. It's kind of hard to explain if you don't know the NOAA, but it's like 45 is a perfect arc.
Okay.
Like that's the perfect arc. And now my shots are only like 47s, and the highest I go is 48. So like now it's like I'm kind of keeping in that range where it's like 45 to 48 the whole time. Like, and I talked to Brandon, the guy that I work out with. It's like the left to right. There's something called left to right on the NOAA. Like, so like negative on the negative side, it means you miss left. Well, it means you make left and you make right. How do you explain this?
Yeah.
So if it's negative, it means you're shooting left. If it's just regular positive, basically, it means it's right. So now I don't even count shots when I'm making it past negative 404. I'm saying just little things like that. I took from Brandon where he told me, you should do this. And I think it's made me a more comfortable and better shooter, just because like I don't even count shots as negative five or past five. Even though it goes in, like it's still, you still don't count it because you gotta challenge yourself. You gotta, because mentally it's like, man, I made the shot, like I should go by. But you're also thinking about like you're working out, you know what I'm saying? So it's different. Like you gotta challenge yourself a little bit because it ain't really a real game. So you kinda gotta mentally challenge yourself in the workout. So that's what I've been doing like literally the whole summer. And I think this helped me become a better shooter. Like so much.
You know, it's interesting, Davion, because we asked you how fast it took you to get over that loss, and you're like, oh, I got over it that night. But I don't think you did, because
I'm telling you,
but you say that, but you look at what you did. You went, if I want to be on the floor at the end of games and playoff games, mm-hmm. I have to be better. And that's because of the result of the series, though. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
you
internalize that. And although you weren't angry about the result of the series because you're like, oh, we can build off this, we can get better, you want to be out there in a game six, in a game seven. And that's what's so crazy about this league is, like, we're talking about the playoffs, and we're like, you got to have a guy like Davion out there, or even like a Jared Vanderbilt with the Lakers. We talk about how good you guys are defensively, but in the playoffs, man, teams expose your weaknesses like so 100%. Hard. Like all of a sudden 100%. They're like, you know what, Davion, we're not even going to guard you. And then that changes everything for the offense. And then you have to like be honest with yourself, reflect and look in the mirror and go, all right, like if I'm going to take this next step, I have to make some serious changes. That's hard to do.
Yeah. Not only 100%. Is that hard to do. So how quickly did you meet up with Brandon then?
Literally. Cause I end up, literally after, right after, because I end up switching agencies. Yeah. So I'm not with CAA no more. I'm with Octagon, and Octagon is agency with Steph Curry. So it kind of, actually everything happens for a reason, because like I didn't even know Steph Curry with Octagon until I got to Octagon, you know what I'm saying? So literally probably like, I went home for a week, but I was talking to him, telling him like, all right, we're going to start, whatever. Well, my uncle was talking to him. And then after that, it kind of was like when I started working out, I would chat with him a little bit. My uncle would chat with him. And then when I got to Atlanta, that's when I really started working out with him. I worked out with him for a week just to see how things go, like a week straight or whatever. And then after that, it was kind of like we kept in contact. Like even if I'm not with him, he sends me different workouts to do. He'd tell me like, all right, make sure you focus on this. Make sure you focus on this. Just to talk to him, because I know I ain't going to always be with him, because, I mean, he's always a step, so I ain't really going to always be with him. But when he's in town, like close to California, I'll probably go to San Francisco one of these days just to work out and just to get connected back in. But we kind of been in contact literally like the whole summer a little bit.
And I know you play a lot too. It's not just like in the gym working on your shot. Mm-hmm. So when you're out playing, you're playing pickup, are you seeing the results with your shot? Like, are you going, oh, this is a big time change?
So it's difficult with that. I played in Spain. We played pickup. I usually don't play a lot of pickup just because a lot of people don't really play for real, and it kind of just be like a little bit just iso ball. Like I always like playing pickup when like coaches are watching, because like people play for real then, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just that's just how it works. Like when you just know coaches are watching, like people are just playing iso ball, and it's like, all right, like what am I really out here for? You know what I'm saying? Like they ain't really real defense. So only other time I really play pickup is when I went to Baylor, and it was difficult with that because they was playing with overseas balls and Nike balls, and it's like a complete difference. Like it, the ball is like, if you go to a Nike ball from an NBA ball, it's like the NBA ball. I mean, the Nike ball is horrible. It's awful. It's actually like it's not horrible. It feels weird. Like it feels a lot different. It's a lot heavier. And then the overseas ball that they use is a little bit different too. It, like, no one really likes it. I ain't gonna lie. Like, it just don't feel like the NBA ball. So I think the only time I really played pickup with an NBA ball and seen the results of me shooting the ball is when I was in Spain for like 4 or 5 days, and we had the PA thing, and I was shooting the ball really well then. But other than that, like, I don't really play pickup as much.
Yeah,
I play one-on-one a lot though.
Okay. We've got more with Davion Mitchell coming up in just a second, but we should mention that today's podcast presented by our friends over at East Sac Fitness. Let's just say,
oh, what are we saying?
Season deuce starting to look pretty good.
Really?
Just wait.
I love it.
When media day comes, people are going to not be talking about, hey, this player had a muscle. They're going to be like, wow.
They're going to, all the microphones are coming up. Deuce Mason, what did you do in this offseason?
I went to USAC Fitness, did the functional fitness classes, and got shredded. No, seriously, though, if you want to get back in shape, USAC Fitness is a great place to go. They got spin classes, yoga classes, functional fitness classes, an awesome recovery room. You got to check out their website, esacfitness.com. You can also give them a call at 916-599-3181. Also presented by a New York Times bestselling author, the one and only T.R. Reagan.
I mean, I would have read her book 15 years ago if I knew that they were this good, even though she's a USA Today bestselling author, New York Times bestselling author, Amazon charts leading author, all those things. And I still was like, yeah, it's my mom, so I don't know if I believe it. Yeah. Oh, I should have believed it, because I just binge read her Lizzie Gardner series this offseason, and it was the best thing I ever did. And I suggest you do it as well. Start with the book Abducted, and then we can have our own little book club. Go to trreagan.com or go to amazon.com, search TR Reagan, and find all of her books there.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So is it hard to change your shot as a player? Because, like, you grew up shooting a certain way, and, you know, you think about any athlete changing a shot, or a baseball player changing how they approach the plate. Like, was it mentally difficult to make that change, or was it just something you're like, I don't care, I just want to be great. It doesn't matter. I'm not married to this shot.
I think for me, I didn't really change much of my shot.
Okay.
It was kind of just like tweaking the heights, the arc in my body. Like, I didn't really change as much, you know what I'm saying? It was kind of, I still got the same form. I still have literally everything the same. It's just now I'm straight up and down. Now I shoot consistently, most of the time the same arc. But I didn't change much, and I think that's what came easy to me, because I think for anybody who changes a shot, it's always hard.
Yeah.
Like, always hard, because, like, you've been shooting like that all your life. So, honestly, I think that no one should ever change their shot. If it goes in, then it goes in. Like, you got to think about it. I shot 45 in college. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what am I changing my shot for? I just got to get comfortable with this NBA ball. I got to get comfortable shooting this. It's different. The NBA is completely different than college. And just, like, different things like that. And I wasn't really – never really stressed about it. I just know I had to put a lot of work in, which is cool to me because, you know, I love working on my game. I mean, I ain't really doing anything else. So, like, I'm just working on my game. So, I know eventually – I mean, over time, as I keep working, I'm become a better shooter. I mean, anything you really work at over time, over years, and put real dedication into it, you're going to become better at it. I don't care what it is, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I didn't really change much. I mean, just now, I can't wait for the season just to show everybody the work I've been putting in, you know what I'm saying? So, I just can't wait, honestly.
I just love how obsessed with the game you are. And I remember when we were talking last year, and we were talking a lot about your defense again. And you mentioned that Jalen Brunson, Jordan Poole, they were some of the toughest guys to guard in the league. Has more been added to your list after this last season?
Yes. I think the hardest person to guard now is Shea Alexander. Easily.
Ooh.
I think he upped his game so much. I don't know if he upped his game so much from the year, my rookie year until the next year. I don't even really know if he upped his game because he's always been nice, but I don't know. This year, it was just he was definitely the toughest cover, like over anybody, like not even close.
His ability to get to the rim, I mean, he was like one of the top guys when it came to him and Ja Morant were two of the top guys in the league getting to the rim. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. that alone, like what was it that made him so good with that? Was it being just explosive off his first step or just, like what was it?
It's a combination of multiple things. I think that him getting to the rim, obviously, you kind of got to watch out of that. I mean, he's kind of taller. And then the physicality, like he loves being physical. Like a lot of people don't really like being physical. I'm physical, so they kind of let me kind of get into their chest or test them up a little bit. But him, he's like, he's kind of creating that physicality. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to guard because he stops and doesn't miss the mid-range shot like that. And he shoots over me anyway, so I can't really let him get a step. And if he do, it's kind of like, I got to hope he miss. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't really miss the mid-range like that. I mean, at least when we played him, at least. He was a problem. He definitely is a problem.
I mean, he was first team All-NBA last year, so I feel like he's starting to get the love. And he's just a legit two-way threat, too. The fact that he can do it offensively, and he's improved so much, but defensively, too, he gets after it.
Yeah, he does. I think that he's not really a pesky defender. I think that he's got really good hands and kind of like – I think his arms are longer. I don't really know much, but I think he's like a longer player, so it makes him really tough on our lives. He's different.
So you mentioned you're in Spain working out. Mm-hmm. I swear, every time you go on vacation, you're working out. If you're in Sacramento, you're working out. I even saw on Instagram this morning that you're like watching basketball, getting treatment, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're clearly obsessed with the game, which is great. I mean, I think the people who want to be great in this want to be obsessed and get better and better. What drives you?
Honestly, I'm a big person that looks at the zodiac signs, and I think that it's weird. I kind of just started to get on it, and I was wondering, like, because everything about a Virgo is kind of like me.
You're a Virgo?
Like, yeah.
So am Virgo. I. Oh my gosh! I knew we were friends. Okay, continue.
So it was just like I kind of look at it like because I try to be. Oh, I'm sorry, someone's calling.
It's all right. It's all
right. But I just did I close out? Oh no, I'm good.
You're
so
good.
I think I try to reach to be perfect, even though I really can't be perfect. I heard this video the other day. It was like Ikky Johnson. Ikky Johnson was talking. He said that Kobe would try to reach perfectionist, even though he couldn't reach it. But he would always be better than a lot of players because he's trying to reach it. No one's ever trying to reach being perfect. It was something like that, the lines like that. But I just honestly think I want to be the best. And for me to be the best, like, I know I got to do those things. And honestly, like you said before, like I go on vacations to and I work out, and it's because honestly, mentally, that like people say you got to rest, but I think it's different for different people. I think that they say you got to give your mind a break or mentally, but I think mentally for me, if I don't work out, it's like it really like gets me. You know what I'm saying? I'm more stressed than not working out than if I work out all the time. You know what I'm saying? Just because I love the game so much, and I know I'm not gonna be able to play for 50 more years, so why not, I mean, try to be the best right now? You know what I'm saying? Just the years I take care of my body really well. I think that's, I've been doing a really good job with that. I've been taking my body really seriously. But I think as far as the mental aspect saying you're going to burn out, I never reached it. You know what I'm saying? Just because I've been playing this game all my life, so I don't really think I'm ever going to reach that aspect. And I think the more and more I learn about the game, the smarter I come, because I think I have the physical tools. I mean, I think I'm pretty fast. I mean, I can jump. It's just the little things like shooting the ball, running a team, making free throws, just trying to be the best at everything, a part of the game. And I think that's what kind of made me who I am, you know what I'm saying, today. So, yeah.
Do you know anything about cancers like myself? Ooh. I mean, do you only know about your sign?
I don't really know about myself.
Okay, all right. I was ready for you to give me a breakdown of myself.
No, we don't have time for that.
You're just talking about, too, running a team. What were the challenges of maybe running a team with this new offense that maybe you got better at as the year went on?
I think this knowing the system, knowing where people got to be, but also knowing where I got to be. I think that was the hardest part. Like, knowing I got to be, like, I always kind of knew where I had to be, but I had to run – tell another person where he got to be, even though he's supposed to know the place too, but I'm the point guard out there. I'm supposed to kind of quarterback everyone where to go. Like, I'm supposed to know every play. I'm supposed to know where the five man is in this play. I'm supposed to know where the four man is on, you know what I'm saying? I just got to be, and I'm learning. I think that now that this system, we're keeping the same system, got the same coaching staff, I kind of got a better understanding where everyone has to be, and I always know where I'm going to be. It's kind of like, and I think it makes it easier. You just got to, as when you run the team, like I said before, you just got to know where people got, put people in places. If they make a mistake, you got to tell them, yo, go to this side, not this side. You know what I'm saying? Just different things like that.
And the quick decisions, too, because they want everything so quick.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I mean, just because, I mean, we got a really good team, and everyone kind of needs, not their shine, but everyone needs shots. You know what I'm saying? So we play faster, so we have more possession. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have such a good team, man. Like, everyone can score the ball on our team. Like, everyone can pass the ball on our team. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, we got to play fast. Like, I feel like if we play slower, man, we wouldn't be as good. You know what I'm saying? Because we got all this speed. We got all young players. We got shooters. We got people like Malik who can get in the ring, who can shoot the ball, who can create plays. You got Fox, who's the fastest person in the league. You got Kevin, who can shoot the ball really well, but he can create. Like, it's just different pieces that we have that just made us like, all right, we need more possessions. You know what I'm saying? So only way for us to do that is we play faster and get stops.
I want to ask you about some of your teammates. And I think let's just start with Keegan Murray. What's something that we may not realize about Keegan or his game?
I think first about Keegan, and even me, like my rookie year, I can just press up myself to me. Like, when you're a rookie, you're really not comfortable around people yet. And the thing about Keegan, he wasn't really comfortable, but as a person, he's getting out of his shell. And I think that's going to make him become better on the court. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be able to tell people, because Keegan's like a quiet person. Mm-hmm. So if a screen's coming, you know what I'm saying? Like, now as Keegan get out of his shell, he's like screaming out the screen. You know what I'm saying? Now, but as a rookie, he kind of was like, just say it, no one hears it. And you get hit by the screen, and you're like, Keegan, call the screen on. He'd be like, I did. And I'm like, Keegan, you're not saying it loud enough. You know what I'm saying? So different things like that. Like, he's just getting out of his shell more. And also, I mean, Keegan works, man. No one really knows he works, but Keegan really works. You know what I'm saying? He's consistent about it. Like, I think that's what makes a hard worker. You're like, being consistent, no matter if you're tired that day, no matter anything, like, just being consistent. And that's what Keegan is. And I mean, you can see it in this game, like in the weight room, like, he's getting stronger. He's playing one-on-one with Fox, playing one-on-one with me. He's playing like different things he's doing, just to become a better basketball player. And I think that a lot of people don't know how hard he works just because how quiet he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that over time, people are realizing when he start get out of his shell, you can be like, man, that's a different Keegan. But it really ain't different. It's just like, he just got to get comfortable around people. And I would say that's what I was too, because I was crying my rookie year. I didn't really know what to expect. You know what I'm saying? I was just like staying back in the background to see how the NBA was, just learning different things. But he's definitely getting on the shell more.
Yeah, and we saw like a glimpse of what he's added to his game when he played in the California Classic for those couple of games. But mm-hmm. there's all this talk about how he was playing during the scrimmages too. I'm sure you got to see some of it. What has jumped out to you about his game and the steps it's kind of taken this offseason?
I think he's getting more smarter as far as like decision making. I think he's becoming a better decision maker, and you can see it. He's making the right play. You know, Keegan can shoot the ball better than most are our lead. So yeah, you kind of gotta like get up on him. But he's making the right decisions. Like if two people on him, like coming off the screen, you know, he dumps it down to the big, and the big makes the play. Like little things like that. And I think the creativity, you see in the California Classic, he's creating more for a shot. You know, Keegan last year was more like a catch and shoot guy and come off the handoff. He had a little bit of creativity, but you don't really know. But now this year it's like more creativity, a little bit off the dribble, just little things. Like he make a move now, it's like, oh snap, Keegan, I didn't really know you had that. But the whole time he probably had it. He just had to get comfortable.
That's what I start thinking about too with the potential of this group, Morgan, is if Davion starts knocking down his shot, Keegan showing what he can do and taking a step, you're like, this seems to be really, really good.
And then, so even going to De'Aaron then, I mean, De'Aaron even taking the leap that he took last season, what are you excited about him for this upcoming season?
Man, De'Aaron, man, he's... Like he was a literally, I've seen something like he was a top five MVP candidate. I think it's definitely true. I mean, because he's more and more like he's running the team, like he's talking more. I think my rookie year, he kind of didn't really know because the coaching changes, trades. So he wasn't really talking as much. I mean, you could see it a little bit, but he wasn't really talking much. Then he was injured. So he was kind of like, it was tricky. But now it's like he's talking more. He's being a leader. But we already know what he can do on the floor. I mean, he's. Like, he's playing defense more. You know what I'm saying? He's guarding the best players. Like, he's doing that type of stuff. And when you got a player like that, at that level, playing a lot of minutes, a young player, I mean, I think we're going to be tough to beat. I mean, like, just because he's shooting the ball really well. Like, just little things like that he's added to his game that makes him a top player in our league. Like, he's probably the toughest person I had to guard. I mean, as far as, like, it's harder in practice, though. So, I would say it's harder to score in practice, but – I would know if I was in a game, I'd watch him all the time. Like, man, if I was guarding him, he'd definitely be the toughest cover that I had to guard for sure.
Why is that?
I think it's harder in practice because, one, they're not calling ticky-tack fouls. Two, it's like we kind of know our system. Like, just like I know what you're trying to get to. I know which way you go to. I play you all the time. Like, I literally play you every single day. So I know which way you want to go to. So it's different. It's different in practice. And I think it's always been harder in practice for any, like, even in college. Like, I didn't really score much in practice. It was so much harder.
Sure.
Like, I don't know what it is. I feel like for this space, I feel like the spacing is, like, I feel like the floor is smaller for some reason. I don't know what it is. But, like, it's just extremely hard in practice.
Yeah, and I'm talking about even, you said he could be, if you had to go up against him in a game, he'd be one of the toughest guards. Like, why would he be one of the toughest guards for you?
I mean, just because he's kind of, like, in a similar sense, like, say, in that same category. I mean, he's faster. He gets to the rim. He finishes better than anyone. He draws fouls. And if he's hitting the shot, it's like you really ain't nothing you can do. He plays the pick and roll really well. He has one of the best floaters in our league. So it's kind of like you got to pick your poison. Like, and if he's hitting threes, it's like, all right, like, what do you do? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really know what to do. He's a really good ISO player. He's fast. He's always getting to his spots. You can't really stop him from getting to his spots as much. Like, for me as a defender, I can stop a lot of people from getting to a spot, or I can make it harder for them to get to that spot. And they use a lot more energy to get to that spot. And the shot is short or something like that. But for someone like him, like he's getting to a spot regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's not, he's drawing the foul. You know what I'm saying? It's because he's been in the league so long, he kind of knows how to play the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's why when a good defender is on five, like I'm never really worried, because I'm like, all right, but like, he know what to get to. He's not going to play with the ball as much. He's going to get those spots. He's going to play in transition more because the other guy's going to be tired. Like, it's just so much stuff that he does. Like, he's smart, man. Like, a lot of people don't give him credit, but he's, like, really smart. He really knows it really well.
And what about having Domas on your squad and just – I mean, I could say, something we might not realize about him, but I feel like he's so tough, and the way that he gets in there for rebounds and the way that he sets a screen, what makes him so important to your guys' squad?
Man, Domas is just like, I think he's like the heart of our team, honestly. He just, like, I would say, like, I'm tough, but, like, you can say, like, Domas is, like, basically the culture of tough. Like, he came to our team, like, I think we immediately had, like, that toughness. Just seeing him going there, bang people, getting rebounds, you know what I'm saying? Like, bumping people on layups, like, just the physicality, like, the setting screens. Like, he did it all. Like, he just bring that physicality to our team. It brought that culture. But also, Domas is really skilled. Like, he ain't just a physical player. Like, he can pass. He can use right hand, left hand. I mean, when he messed up his hand, he still, like, think about it. Like, man, you mess up your hand. Like, he had a decision. He had to really sit out for, like, 5 or 6 months, but he kept playing. He still played at the same level. You know what I'm saying? That's tough to do, man, like, especially even on the mental side. Like knowing that, man, my hand is messed up, and I don't want nobody to hit my hand, but I'm still going to play the same way. Like, I don't know too many people that do that. Like, you know, if it was me, I honestly don't know if I would be like, bro, play the same, because I would be afraid the whole time. Like, if they hit this hand, like, I could be really out, like, for a really long time. But, man, he took it in the 10. He played the same way, and he killed for us. I mean, like, he did everything that we expected him to do, like, even more. I'm sorry, this thing's loud.
It's not that. It's all good. By the way, Davion's chill. We super appreciate Davion because he's like chilling, eating, hanging out, and the cars are going by. We actually don't hear it. It's not even that loud to us. It's all good.
Over.
No. I think it's loud. Yeah, the technology's really good because we don't hear it. Dude, that's the one thing with Sabonis that I don't think it's talked enough about during the playoffs. Is like, it's more physical. The Warriors play ultra physical. They were beating the hell out of that guy. And he was still, like, his hand was still hurting. It was still an issue because I think there was a lot made of, hey, Looney got these rebounds. I'm like, dude, Looney is just longer. Sabonis draws so much attention, and Sabonis is playing hurt. Like, of course, Sabonis could have played better, especially taking that shot with confidence, which I know he's going to next year. I just feel like he doesn't get enough credit for playing hurt throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, and people just don't realize, like, yes, Sabonis is an all-star, but, like, he has to do a lot of things on the floor where it's like the Warriors have so many pieces that, like, Draymond does what Sabonis does on our team. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he only has to focus on, like, Draymond had to only focus on guarding, passing, and being tough. You know what I'm saying? Domas for us is like, he has to run the offense. He has to be in transition. He has to score the ball. He has to pass the ball. He has to try to be good defensively, guarding Steph Curry. Like, he has to do so many things that it's tough to be really good at all of it. I mean, I'm saying, like, yes, he's an all-star. Yes, he gets paid to do all of it. But, like, I don't care who you is. Like, it's tough to just do all of it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, only person I know who did that is LeBron James. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did all of it to win a championship. So, it's like people don't – oh, snap. But people don't really understand, man, how hard it is, like, just to do everything. You know what I'm saying? He had to literally score the ball, pass the ball, be tough, and – guard Stephen Curry on ball screens, guard Klay Thompson on ball screens, guard Jordan Poole. Like, he had to be that because he's on the floor. So, and you got to guard all them good guards and then be physical with Draymond. You know what I'm saying? There's so much stuff that he had to do. Like, I don't think no one really could have done it. And respectfully, I don't think no one really could have done it. Like, and I think he did really good at it. You know what I'm saying? Even though Kevon Looney got the best of him in some games, but that's okay. Like, I mean, that's going to happen in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to out-battle somebody every single game, because there's some games where Sabonis out-battled him. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, I think people are looking at it from the outside in. It's like, all right, Sabonis, you got to grab these rebounds. You got to do this. But people in the inside, we know that, bro, he got to do so much things that, like, we're not tripping. Like, we wasn't really mad about Kevon Looney, because at the end of the day, we a team. You know what I'm saying? Like, we should have helped him. You know what I'm saying? We should have done a better job of helping him, like, boxing out Kevon Looney so he can get those rebounds. But like I said, man, like, that's why I think next year, like, we understand our teammates and we have a really good chemistry that we're going to be a lot better next year.
Yeah. So then what type of expectations do you personally have for this team?
It's a good question. I would just say, man, just like getting to the same position, but just keep moving forward. I mean, try not to, like, our biggest thing is go to the next round and then go to the next round. I think it's like, but also I think first is just making the playoffs. We got to make the playoffs again. I mean, that ain't going to be easy to do, especially with all these good teams in the West now. Like, it's like OKC is not going to be tanking no more. They're actually going to play. Like, they got a really good team. Like, you got so many teams in the West now that's going to play for real. Like, not a lot of teams in the West are tanking. I don't think no one really is, like, actually trying to get a number one draft pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so many good teams that I think the first is to get there. And then the second, when we get there, we've been there before. So we have a little bit of experience and just keep going. Like, keep going to the next round. Don't take no game for granted. Play hard each game. You know, defensively, we got to be at our top of the top, because we know that shots don't go in the playoffs. I don't care what team it is. I mean, like, shots really don't go in. That's why you see the percentages always drastically changes, because it's hard in the playoffs, man. It's real tough.
Yeah, I can't wait for the season. I know you're excited for it. We can't wait either, man. It's crazy. We still got a couple months to go. Before I let you go, I got to ask you one thing. You got I've never seen so a person get so many tattoos in like a 2 month span. Dude, I know you had some tats, but you completely added, you got like sleeves, you got on the back. Yeah. Damn,
what,
dude.
What inspired that?
I kind of just wanted to, like, all my tattoos mean something.
Yeah.
So, like, I, like, wanted to put my story on myself instead of always thinking about my story, just putting it on myself. And I think, honestly, what really helped me, like, I wouldn't get not one tattoo if it was not, if it wasn't numbing cream. Like, I don't feel these tattoos, so I'm just, like, getting it, you know what I'm saying? So,
wait, honestly. The numbing cream helps? Because I got one tattoo, Davion, on my finger. I was, like, almost in tears.
That don't hurt. I mean, that don't help. On the finger, it doesn't really
help.
Like,
yeah, I didn't know that ahead of time, and I did it, and it hurt bad. So you're telling me the rest didn't really hurt?
Don't hurt at all. Like, you don't feel anything. It's literally, like, I fell asleep one time, like, just getting a tattoo, because, like, you really don't feel anything. Like, I fell asleep on my, my leg, the recent one.
Yeah.
Like, my leg one. Yeah, I fell asleep, because I was tired that day, and you literally don't feel anything. It's like you just hear noise, but you don't feel anything.
Damn. Well, dude, I just saw all that work, and I was like, dude, that must have taken, like, hours and hours.
You know, it always takes, like, my whole day. Like, I always do it, like, on a, like, Sunday. Like, when I know I'm not working out, I'm just chilling. Like, I'm resting my body. Yeah. It literally takes a whole day when I get it.
Well, Davion, seriously, can't thank you enough for the time, man. And we're excited to see you this season. Enjoy the rest of the offseason, man. Hopefully you get some time to chill a little bit, but I know you won't because you're just obsessed. But we can't thank you enough for spending some time with us.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank y'all for having me.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.